So here we go. If you like to hold your Bibles open, we'll use them eventually. But this morning, I'd like to talk to you about a very, very special little girl. Whoops. I would like to talk to you about a little girl that was born to a little farming family in a rural town, and what a special little girl she was. She came into this world, and you know, sometimes fathers are disappointed with the birth of a daughter. They really shouldn't be, but sometimes they are, especially around farms, you know. Something about giving birth to a little boy, father and a little boy, means someday, before too long, I'm going to have some help out in the field. But I guess sooner or later, a father realizes that a little girl is a great blessing too. They end up being a big help in all kinds of ways. So in time, this family settled in. A little girl with father and mother. And you know, whether she could help in the field or not when she got older, it wasn't but a few days and that little girl had stolen that father's heart. Some of you know what that's like, right? I suspect that this family was what we would call staunchly religious. You know the kind? Maybe you don't. Maybe I should describe them to you. I'm not talking about staunchly religious in the, do this or God's going to squish your head kind of way. I mean the staunchly religious family that really loves God and really involves God and His Word and His presence and everything that they do through their lives. It's just like God is woven into the family. So that they wake up in the morning and they go through this little ritual as they're getting ready for their daily chores, and they get breakfast ready and they begin to think about the day, and as they're starting breakfast, as they say their prayers and they remember God, and they always kind of had this little way of ending breakfast, they would say, Our God is the only God. And He is good. That would end their morning prayer. They would just always end with that prayer, and then they would go through their day. And you know, this family, like most family, had its challenges. Sometimes didn't like the government. Sometimes had trouble in the fields with the crop. And in time, you know, this little girl began to grow up. And you know how it is with children, right? Children began to ask questions, and well, this family, like I said, they were staunchly religious, and so they seized upon every, you know, they were those kind of people. They just seized upon every opportunity to talk about God. They prayed real often. Some of us would have thought they prayed too much. You know the kind, right? They talked about Bible stories. Like, it was just the language of the family was all of these stories from the Bible. You know, you'd think they could have woven in maybe some of Aesop's fables or some other kind of stories, but this family, they just weren't that way. They were that kind of family. They just always were telling the stories of God from the Bible. I mean, you know, the little girl, she was a baby for a while. You know how that goes. And then she wasn't a baby anymore, and she had the power of speech. And why is it that when a child gets the power of speech, the first thing that they say is, why? And there was that first spring when that little girl began to notice things change in the springtime. Things all of a sudden seem to come alive, and flowers bloom, and grass goes green, and new little animals are born to the people that keep animals, and she begins to ask questions. Why? Where'd that come from? How did that happen? And you know, that was a great opportunity for mom and dad to rehearse the story of creation. To talk about God and how on the first day He created and the second day He created. And it was a good opportunity along the way to bear witness to the fact that everything that's good comes from God. Everything that we have in this world, it comes from God, and you can trust God. You can trust Him because He made everything, and He made it good. And, of course, there are times when things just aren't perfect. And that's when it's time to remember that God is good, and He made all of the good things in this world. So you can imagine that even in those kinds of why questions, the little girl just got her head full of God and His goodness. I mean, she just began to learn that that was the answer to everything, that there was a God and He was good. And of course, there was a Bible story for everything. And of course, every morning. And it got to where she noticed it was every night. Our God is the only God, and there is no one as good as He. It was just like in her head, resonating. Our God is the only God. He is good. It just became second nature for her to believe that. There's only one God. Our God's the only God, and He is good. You know, sometimes it rains too much. This may be one of those kinds of weeks when it rains too much. And you know, a little girl will notice if it rains all day. Toward nightfall, she'll ask Mom and Dad, she'll say, "Is it going to rain forever?" Never had to answer that question, have you? 3-4 days of rain. Is it going to rain forever? Great opportunity to tell the story of Noah, to rehearse the promise of the rainbow. And then, you know, it was almost like God was on cue. The rain stops one day and there's a rainbow, and they get to retell that story, talk about that promise that the earth would never be flooded and everything would never be, there'd never come a time when God would destroy everything with water again. But you know, if you're a farmer, you want a little rain, right? And you want it at the right time. But if you get too much rain, it's bad news. Bad news for farmers to enjoy too much rain, and the crop and the seeds, they don't do right. And you get a low yield, and a lot of things just die because they were flooded, and really they were drowned out there in the field. One of those years comes, and that's a great opportunity for Mom and Dad to remind their little girl, no, things aren't always good, but God always is. Now, you can always trust Him. Our God is the only God. There is no one as good as He is. It just was a refrain in her brain. It got to where it was just always there in the back of her mind. Our God is the only God, and He is good. In time, those young children, those little questions, you know, they begin to be serious. I don't know, what is that, about 3? Children get wise faster than we want them to. They begin to ask hard questions like, so how do we know? How do we know about God? We talked about it. The child doesn't know anything else, but Mom and Dad, they just jabber on about God all the time, and how good He is, and how everything comes from Him. And well, how do we even know about God? And you know, smart parents seize the opportunity. And they said, well, we know God because God told us about Himself. He revealed Himself to us. As a matter of fact, a long time ago, He talked to this fellow named Abraham. They had an opportunity to just walk through the great stories of the Bible. And you know, there's that great story about Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. And they would tell that story. It became one of the little girl's favorite stories. Abraham taking Isaac up the mountain. I don't know what it is about kids. They love that story. Don't they understand that the little boy's life is on the line in this story? But it's a great story. Up the mountain they go. And then at the last moment before Abraham plunges the knife into his son, the angel speaks and God stops him. There's a sacrifice called in the thicket. Great opportunity to remember. No matter how strange, no matter how odd the circumstance, you can trust God. Because God's way is always the best way, even if it doesn't make sense to us. God's way is always right. And as long as you're in God's way, as long as you're in His will, as long as you're doing what He asks of you, that's where it's good. That's where you find peace. You find the peace of God not in calmness, not when everything's just the way you want it to be, but you find God's peace when you know, when you absolutely know that things are going the way God wants them to go. You know, there are other great stories along the way that Mom and Dad had a chance to share again and again. You know, the stories of Moses' life are just great stories to share with a little girl along the way. You know, there's that great story about the bulrushes and the baby in the basket and God's provision. Didn't seem to make sense. Why in the world would anybody want to kill all the little babies? And why in the world would Pharaoh, the enemy, the Egyptian, you know, everybody that grew up in church and hears the stories of God, somehow doesn't like the Egyptians, and Pharaoh's a big nasty guy, you know? Why would he want to take in a baby and let it be raised in his house and grow up and get all those good things? And then why in the world would anybody throw that away and go back to their own people and end up exiled in the desert? But that's how we know about God, little girl. That's how we know about God. God comes and He speaks in the burning bush. You begin to understand, right, that this family's language was the language of the stories of God. They told those stories, that burning bush, and then of course they told the stories of the Exodus. Everybody loves the stories of the Exodus, don't you? I always liked it when I was thinking about the Egyptians with all those little frogs jumping around in their palaces. Except I think maybe those frogs, they didn't go ribbit, they went croak. And those swarms and those sores, and then I don't know. You know, it's a little bit scary to think about the angel of death passing through, but that's another good opportunity to be reminded. God's way is always the right way. It's always the best way. It works out right in the end. Well, along the way, you got to hear about King David and what a great King David was. Boy, doesn't a little girl like the story of a great king, or at least of a great prince, especially one in hiding, you know? There's just something about a little farm girl's heart that beats a little faster when she thinks about the shepherd boy and him being king someday, you know? You just never know. Maybe the little shepherd boy that lives next door, he might be God's king in hiding. Maybe that little shepherd boy in the next little village over, you know, maybe. I don't know when that happens. I think it's different for different kids. For me, it was about 2. The little girl started looking mighty sweet about 2. They thought I was stupid. Dumb and ugly and gross, and well, you know, they eventually caught up. I think it was about 8. Somewhere about 8, you know, boys ceased being completely nasty. Oh, that King David, wasn't he something? But you know, there's something about the King David story. It's something about the King David story that makes a little girl go, well, if God appoints kings, especially great kings like David, who, I mean, face it, as a little boy could take a stone and run out in the middle of a field with a little sling and go, whoo, 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 whack, and kill the giant. Obviously a great king. If God could do that with a little shepherd boy, how come there's not a great king today to make everything right? How come there's not a great king in our world to say the way God wants things to be run? To organize all the people so we can be God's people and do what God wants us to do. And of course, then comes the opportunity to tell the stories about rebellion and how God's people turned their back on God, how ultimately they were sent into exile. They had to be in Babylon for a while and conquered by other people. And you remember those stories too, don't you? But there's nothing that makes people long for a king like exile, living under foreign rule, knowing that things aren't right in the world, hoping things could be better. And that's a great time to start telling a little girl about the Messiah. Someday God will visit us again, don't you think? God will be with his people. We don't know when. We just trust that our God is the only God and that he is good. And that someday, some way, he will show up and he will make all things right. Talk about the Messiah. You know, you can't help but understand, hint, hint, parents, that if a little one hears the stories of God their whole life, if they grow up with parents who aren't just staunchly religious and beat all the do's and don'ts into your head, but parents who genuinely love God, serve him, and weave the truth and hope of God into the very fabric of their lives, and give thanks to God for everything, really everything good and bad, and who from a child's earliest day says, you know, things aren't always fun, things aren't always what we call good, but we're doing what God wants us to do. We say yes to God. He takes care of us. If it rains too much and the crops don't do so good, we just trust that God has another plan to take care of us. And even in the midst of the storm, they love God and they rely on him, and they instill in that little girl this sense that to do what God asks you to do, that's to be at peace. To be right in the center of his will, that's where it's best to be, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how strange. To be right where God wants you to be. There's really no other place to be. So by the time this little girl becomes a teenager, you just can't find a nicer girl anywhere. It's the kind every mother of a little boy wants to find. A little girl that is just full of joy and life and light because she knows God's word and God is inside of her. And when you're around her, she's just got joy and peace galore and despair because she She knows. She knows the secret. And the secret is that to be right where God wants you to be, to answer God's call, to say yes to Him, to do whatever He asks of you, that's peace. And that's joy, and that's love, and that's right. And there's no better place to be than right where God wants you to be. Well, one day while doing her chores, I suspect something extraordinary happened to this little girl. And that story goes like this from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then the little girl said, "Strange as it may be, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And so the angel departed from her. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, today I pray, teach us the lesson of the peace of God, that the only way to get it is to say yes to what you ask of us. Bless now, I pray, your people. May your Holy Spirit dwell with us and lead and guide us so that we might go and be good witnesses to the truth that the King of the universe, the Son of the living God, Christ, Jesus the Messiah, has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.